The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carton Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us on another gorgeous summer afternoon. Another crazy day here. Two murders in Seattle last night and this morning. One in the Central District at a convenience store, and then another at about 4 o'clock this morning at a motel on Aurora Avenue North. And we're once again seeing just the violent crime that has engulfed not just our city, but we're going the way of Chicago, and New York has had a explosion in shootings and murders. It's not just in the city. A clerk at another convenience store in SeaTac yesterday, just randomly, no provocation whatsoever, and somebody stabbed the clerk. That clerk had life-threatening injuries. So we're just seeing this violence that is engulfing not just our city and our region, but it's engulfing so many cities around America right now. So we're going to stay on top of that. As you know, if you were listening to the big show yesterday, the Seattle Police Officers Guild president yesterday afternoon on this show said it is time for the president to send federal help to Seattle because things have gotten so out of control with violence. And if you've seen the body cam footage that was released last night of how Seattle police officers were being attacked on Sunday, you understand why they're saying, we need help. So we'll talk about that in depth coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. But first, the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
I have a very important question for you. And this is not intended at all as a rhetorical question. I'm going to be checking very closely the text messages, any other way you want to reach out to me, Twitter. What is worth fighting for, in your view? And before you send me your answer to that question, let me explain to you why I'm asking it. These are such divisive times. And my worldview has always been people can do and think whatever they want as long as it's not messing with other innocent people. And what I've come to learn the last few months when it comes to coronavirus, wearing masks, staying at home, I've told you my position. I have no problem wearing masks when I go into any business. I don't wear it when I'm out. I don't wear my mask when I'm outside. But I have no problem wearing a mask when I go into a business. I have no problem with staying at home because I can do my job from home. But I'm not going to sit here and tell people who have seen their businesses vaporize because of government edict. People who are unemployed and they're seeing the end of the, you know, the $600 extra in the federal checks, that end is coming. And there are a lot of people who are unemployed because of government edict. But what I've come to learn with everything surrounding COVID-19 is we're all going to reach our own conclusions, and we're all going to have our data points. You know, like Jay Inslee's the data daddy. I'm your data dory. But we're all going to find data and scientists and doctors and professors who back up our opinion. And I'm tired of that fight. I really am. I don't think that it's going to get us anywhere. We're all going to reach our own conclusions. So I'm not interested in trying to bring people to my point of view. And my point of view on this issue is pretty darn moderate. I wear a mask when I go into businesses. I think that mitigation has been important. I think that the stay-at-home order, for those who can do it, we should. But for the people who are seeing their business, their enterprise that they've put their blood, sweat, and tears into, I don't like government saying, I'm going to wipe you out. For the people who don't know how they're going to feed their family this week, by government edict. I'm not crazy about that. But I've come to realize we're not going to change a lot of minds. We have all reached our own conclusions on that. Same with putting our kids back in school this fall. I think that there is compelling evidence to get our kids back in school. Jay Inslee's own state doctors have said that our kids don't catch the virus. When they do, they don't get that sick, and they don't transmit it. But for the people who disagree with that, they are going to find doctors and scientists that say, no, 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 kids get it even worse, and they're even worse carriers. And everyone's going to find their own data to support whatever view they've arrived at. And honestly, I'm tired of that fight. I personally believe we're going down a horrible path with our children. The Kent schools last night announced that they are going to be all remote learning this fall. And we should put learning in quotation marks, because it was proven these last several months that remote learning doesn't teach anything, and the kids aren't getting anything out of it. But that's what they're going to do in Kent. Tonight, the WIAA has a meeting at 7 o'clock to determine if there will be any high school sports this fall. And I've told you weeks ago what I've been hearing, and I still have some connections in the high school sports world. And while they were pretending that there was going to be sports this fall, and they said, no, we're just going to delay football for 2 weeks. And when they said that, I got kind of ticked off, because I knew that the likelihood was that there would be no high school sports in the fall. That remains my prediction going into this WIAA meeting tonight. I think they're going to push everything out of 2020. If your kid, or if you are the high school kid who plays football, the soccer, at least in our district, girls soccer is a fall sport. Volleyball is a fall sport. You're not going to have any of that in 2020. That's my best guess. And then kids who play multiple sports, they're going to have to decide, am I going to play football or wrestle or whatever the other boys' fall sports are? For the girls, and every kid I coached, almost every, 90% of the kids I coached, they didn't specialize in basketball. They also played soccer. They played volleyball. And now these kids aren't going to be able to be multi-sport athletes. Anyway, side issue. I think the schools are going down a horrible path for our kids. For those who disagree with me, they're going to find their data, their doctors, their scientists to say, no, 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 we should not put our kids back in school, and every kid should stay at home for the foreseeable future. Honestly, I'm tired of fighting about that. So then the question becomes, and this is what I started this rant with. What, in your view, is still worth fighting for? And let me explain why I asked that question. Because, well, we're not going to change a lot of minds, no matter which side you're on, with coronavirus, the government's imposition on our lives, the stay-at-home mandates, the mask mandates, the keeping kids out of school. I don't think too many minds are going to be changed. So I'm not that interested in still fighting those battles. But there still are a lot of battles that I don't just want to fight, because I don't want to fight anything. But there are battles that need to be fought. And perfect example is what's going on in Seattle right now, where you have a Marxist takeover of our city government. And if they reduce the Seattle police force by 50%, I mean, think about that. The cops were already overrun as people with baseball bats, rioters, were smashing windows all afternoon on Sunday, were throwing projectiles at our cops. If you've seen that body cam footage that was released by Seattle police last night, it was horrifying. It was absolutely horrifying as these criminal domestic terrorist rioters were attacking our cops. And this is going to be disastrous for our region. Channel 4 had a story last night where they were showing that body cam footage. It's at ComoNews.com. Watch out!
Dramatic and violent confrontation at the West Precinct played out on officer body cam video. But it first starts with the protester caught on camera outside the West Precinct using an umbrella to block the view of a security camera. Moments later, police are seen on the body cam trying to stop the protesters blocking the camera. Tensions quickly escalate. You see bottles and a traffic cone start flying towards the police. An officer uses pepper spray back at the crowd of protesters. A firework catapults from the protesters towards the officers, blasting at them.
It really is horrifying to watch. You have domestic terrorist rioters who are attacking our police officers. And while Channel 4, and it's a good story by Channel 4, ComoNews.com. But they described it as fireworks. The police told me it was closer to an IED, an improvised explosive device, that sent one officer to the hospital. And having grown up, been born at Ballard Hospital, grown up in this city, choosing to raise my kids in this area, I still believe that Seattle is worth fighting for. And I don't want Marxists to take over our city. I don't want our police, who are already being overrun, to be cut by 50%. This is going to be disastrous. And whether it's Antifa that is behind much of the rioting in Seattle, Black Lives Matter as an organization, very different from the words therein, but as an organization, they are a Marxist organization. They say that. They admit it. Here's the BLM co-founder.
I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
Okay, we are trained Marxists. I still think that it is worth fighting against Marxism. But we're in this era where if you take a position against the organization Black Lives Matter, you can be fired for saying what I'm saying. There are a lot of people who would love to see that happen with me. And again, I believe that Black Lives Matter. That doesn't mean I have to support an organization that's about Marxism and destroying paternalism. And as part of their platform wants to destroy the traditional Western family structure. I believe in family. I believe that strong dads, what they revile as paternalism, I believe that strong dads are still an important part of our society. I believe in our country. But one of the organizers of the Portland protests, rioting, they want to abolish the United States of America.
Hi, everyone. As many of you know, my name is Lilith Sinclair. I'm an Afro-Indigenous, non-binary local organizer here in Portland, organizing for the abolition of not just the militarized police state, but also the United States as we know.
They want to abolish the United States as we know it. Black Lives Matter, one of their supporters, one of their organizers in London.
Recognizing that there is one common enemy, the white man. And the systems that they use are capitalism, patriarchy, and fascism. They were created and perpetuated by white men, for white men, in the interest of white men.
Okay, there's one common enemy, the white man, and they want to do away with capitalism and patriarchy. Again, I think that patriarchy is part of strong fathers being strong leaders in their families. I don't see a problem with that, and I will fight against that. The effort, and many members of Seattle City Council want to overturn capitalism. That's their stated goal. Nothing has lifted more human beings out of poverty than capitalism. And the economic foundation of the United States. I mean, the poorest people in the U.S., would be considered insanely wealthy by much of the rest of the world because of capitalism. And so I'm weary of fighting about stay at home and wearing masks and our kids going to school. Everyone's going to find their scientists and doctors to support their view. But I still believe that there are no two views that are reasonable when it comes to eliminating half of our police department when we have multiple murders in the last 24 hours here in Seattle. When it comes to the effort to overturn capitalism, to destroy it, to abolish the United States of America, to me, that is what is still worth fighting for. And that is what I will continue to fight for every single day. I'm gonna cool it a bit on getting your kids back to school. I wish government would give you an option and tell the teachers, those who want to teach, go back. We'll send the kids with the parents who want their kids back in school. We'll send them back to school. You want to keep your kids at home? Teachers, you want to stay at home? Stay at home. I don't care. Everybody should be free to do that. But when it comes to defending capitalism, the United States of America, the city of Seattle, I'm still all in. So my question for you, and I'm going to check all of your responses here. What is still worth fighting for in these divisive times? Text me at 98973-98973. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'll tell you what. Let's just play back the Big Lead at 2 o'clock because I'm not going to do better than that. Okay, coming up next, Seattle Police Guild says it's time for federal help for our cops. Should the president send in federal agents to help our local police? Yeah, that's a divisive one. We'll get into that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Getting a tremendous response via your text to our opening monologue. Kids who are in choir are texting me. How are we supposed to sing in choir if we're not in school and we have to wear masks? And I specifically mentioned Kent said they are going to do all online at the beginning of the school year. And from the 253, Dory, I'm a student, ninth grader in Kent, and this is not good. We don't learn anything online. It's a joke. And I've heard that from a lot of students, a lot of kids who have told me that even though they want to learn, that it was just horrible the last several months. And then more from that same ninth grader. Do you know how much the teachers work? They give out a link once a day or week that they didn't even create, and they just sit on their butt and get paid. Okay, that's the perspective of one kid. I also got an email from Charles, who writes, I'm a middle school teacher. I agree that not a lot of learning happened this last spring. However, that was not due to teachers not teaching. I worked harder, he said. It was due entirely to OSPI telling students they did not have to work or learn. Consider all of the internet academies and you will see that online learning works. So there's the spectrum, a kid's perspective, a teacher's perspective on the, you know, Kent schools saying that they are going to be all online at the beginning of the school year. And that's why I predict there will be no fall high school sports. If you're telling kids they can't go to school to learn, you're not going to let them go to school for football practice. So I don't think there will be any high school sports. We'll find out tonight, 7 o'clock. But I predict there will be zero high school sports in Washington this fall. My guess, we'll see if it comes true. Should the administration send federal agents to help Seattle's police? As I played for you in our opening monologue, you had the Seattle cops just getting overrun by domestic terrorists on Sunday. Violent criminals, no arrests or two arrests. 12 cops were injured, one sent to the hospital, but only two people were arrested. You have a lot of these people who are taking over the streets deciding. And when I asked what's worth fighting for, I got so many responses from listeners who said, this country and the Constitution. And they are trying to trample the Constitution. Free speech? They don't want free speech. You don't think they would silence me if they could? And they're trying. They're trying desperately. They hate free speech. When Channel 4 was out recording some video for news, they came over and they tried to forcibly stop them, threatened to destroy their camera and their equipment, even though they were on public streets. And a free press is the most essential part of a free society. They want to destroy all of that. So most people are saying the Constitution is what is still worth fighting for in these times. And I absolutely 100% agree with that. Yesterday on this show, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild made some news. Mike Solon, he told me that it might be time for the Trump administration to send federal help to Seattle.
Maybe this is the opportunity where we're seeing the success of what's going on in Portland as far as the law enforcement ability to hold these criminals accountable by arresting them. And you saw the success that the federal officers had.
Yes.
When they moved into Portland. Perhaps this is a time now in Seattle where we might need some federal intervention here.
And there's been a ton of propaganda about Portland. It's been a fantastic success. You know, the propaganda is that federal agents without any name badges are just throwing protesters into unmarked vehicles and taking them to unknown destinations. It's so ridiculous. No, they're taking criminals on the street after 50 plus days of protests and rioting in Portland. And they've been focusing on the rioters. And in the opinion of the Seattle Police Officers Guild president, because I wanted to find out, are you making news on the Dory Monson show by taking an official position on this?
Are we going to have another loss of life before we take this seriously? That's why, you know, perhaps this is the time we bring in the federal government. I'm not sure. I mean, I understand that saying that in this area will just cause such an uproar, but maybe it's time, Dory.
So is that your opinion, Mike? Because I know that you're always careful about your opinion versus the official position of the Seattle Police Officers Guild.
No,
but
is it
your opinion or the Guild's opinion that President Trump should send in federal forces because things have gotten so out of control here?
Well, that's what we're still debating. And we haven't officially come out as a union to say that. But obviously I'm the spokesperson of the union. And if we're going to have our officers being told to stay in the line and to try to protect these facilities, but we don't have the ability to do so, well, we're not punching bags. We shouldn't be the body that takes all this criminal behavior. And then when we do try to enforce and protect our lives and the community, but yet those criminal agitators aren't held responsible, then what are we left to do? We're doing nothing. We're just sitting there.
But
and
look,
so there has to be some law enforcement entity out there that enforces law and order. And we're seeing the success in Portland, where they've transitioned to Seattle now because it's effective down there. I mean, they've been besieged for countless days down there. So what's left for us? You're going to have an officer seriously maimed, much like almost happened yesterday, or you're going to have an officer killed for them to be any political decisions made here to do the right thing. And clearly it's not being done. And I can't sit here as a member, as the spokesperson of this union, the leader of this union, to say, you know what, let's just hold the line and hopefully nothing happens. Well, clearly that's not happening here.
Okay, we're hearing more from the president on sending troops to cities like Seattle. And, in fact, came up at the White House press conference earlier today. So let me take a quick time out, and then I will tell you the very latest about the possibility of federal agents being dispatched to Seattle to help out our beleaguered police. And remember, all of that juxtaposed against a city council that wants to get rid of half of our police department. Another reminder, two murders in Seattle in the last 15 hours. I'd say our cops need some help. More details straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So the question is, should the president send federal agents into Seattle? And yes, I agree with all the people who've contacted me, and they've heard, everywhere in the media, them saying that they're going to send troops in. And they're not troops; they're agents. In most cases, that's what they've been doing down in Portland. The Trump campaign is running an ad right now to spotlight the problems in Seattle. Oh, buddy's going crazy because Dave Wyman just walked in the front door. Dave's going to be live with us in my home next hour. The Trump campaign is using the problems in Seattle in a brand new ad to go after Joe Biden.
Seattle's pledge to defund its police department by 50%, even including a proposal to remove 911 dispatchers from police control.
Joe Biden said he's absolutely on board with defunding the police.
And the visual with all of this is it's an old woman and there's a guy using a crowbar to try to pry open her locked door. And so she's calling 911. Seattle has defunded all of the cops and she can't get any help. And it ought to close.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello, you've reached 911. I'm sorry that there is no one here to answer your emergency call. But leave a message, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Crime will rise significantly.
And Donald J.
Okay, and then, yeah, he approves that message. So they are using the problems in Seattle as a major point of, re-election. Because Joe Biden, a couple of weeks ago, he said that police are increasingly becoming the enemy. He has said that, yes, he would defund the police, as is happening in Seattle. And we're seeing that that would be just absolutely disastrous for our city. Kayleigh McEnany, just earlier today at a White House press briefing, she was asked, before I get to Kayleigh, here, let's hear from the president himself.
Portland was totally out of control. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats running the place, had no idea what they were doing. They were ripping down for 51 days, ripping down that city, destroying the city, looting it. The level of corruption and what was going on there is incredible. And then.
Well, it is. But it's because Marxists are in charge of Portland, Seattle, and too many other cities right now. Check the news for you. Dave Wyman will join us for the Fastest 15 next.